Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Matthew chapter number 5. We're continuing the Beatitudes. We have one more study in the Beatitudes after this Sunday. We're looking forward to that, but that'll come after Easter. Matthew chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and I'll have you read some of the verses with me. Matthew 5 and verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's read verse 5 together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7 together. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's read verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let's read together. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You may be seated. Father, guide us in your word today. We ask, would you be our teacher? Thank you for loving us so very much. We love you, and we love your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the story is told that throughout all of human history, mankind generally really likes peace, wants peace. They desire it, they crave it, they seek after it. Obviously, all of human history is not recorded, and we have much from human history, but of what is recorded, it's interesting that of the 3,500 plus years that we've been able to document some of these things, it has been said that only 8% of human history has been without war or completely at peace. That's pretty amazing to think that out of 3,500 plus years, only 286 years have been warless. And it's also interesting to find out that during that time of recorded history, that you have some 8,000 peace treaties that were made and also broken. It's interesting how the world is craving after peace. I find as you read in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation that it will be this craving for peace that prepares the world to accept the vain and empty promises of the Antichrist. He's the man that has all the answers, and you can see right now how the world is primed and ready to receive someone on a global stage in that way. The mankind has a deep, deep longing for peace. And Jesus speaks to his disciples here. Remember, they're on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's refresh our minds with the map here. They're on the northern side there. He's up on a plain overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he is teaching his disciples and those that have gathered with them. He's teaching them the constitution of the kingdom, what will govern those that are part of the kingdom. Right now, he has set up the kingdom in the hearts of everyone who has believed on him. And so this is our constitution. This is the way that Jesus wants us to behave. These are the attitudes he wants us to have. So when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, he wants you to be a peacemaker. He wants this to be a reality in your life and in my life. Throughout Scripture, we read much of peace. 429 times we find peace mentioned in Scripture. Love is mentioned some 419 times. It is a dominant theme throughout Scripture. Why? It's something that sinful humanity craves after, and there's only one that has the answer to it, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so he's teaching his disciples, here's how I want you to conduct yourself in a world full of chaos, in a world full of mayhem, in a world full of deceit and hostilities,
In a world full of troubles, in a world full of angst, I want you to act and live as a peacemaker. I want you to behave in this way. Many of the previous Beatitudes were simply that. They were Beatitudes. They were attitudes of the heart. There are things that you couldn't really see unless they started in the heart and came out in an action. Here, this is, in that sense, it's the same, but really the actions of a peacemaker is something that is to be visible in your daily conduct. It's to be visible in your home. It's to be visible in your workplace. It's to be visible here in our church family. We are to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You want to be called a child of God? Now, the day you accepted Jesus Christ, you became a child of God. John 1 and verse number 4, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The authority. Where did that authority come from? When we believed on him, when we accepted him by faith. But he's saying, if you're a peacemaker, you're going to be called a child of God. There's a little bit of difference here. One is, I am a child of God, but it's other to be known as a child of God. And that's a big difference. There's many people who you would never dream they're a child of God. And one day in secrecy, maybe in a corner at work, they said, you know, I'm a believer too, right? No, a peacemaker is going to be known as a child of God. And we'll get to that in a moment. Let's first notice the profile of a peacemaker. Who is this peacemaker? Well, it comes in the very definition of the word, a peacemaker or a maker of peace. It's one who makes peace. So that's our working definition, one who makes peace. It's a mediator who tries to bring harmonious relations between two hostile groups or two hostile people that are at odds, and a peacemaker steps in to negotiate or to be a mediator, to mediate peace between them. And so this peacemaker, or this maker of peace, is one that doesn't just keep the peace. He's not a peace giver, but he makes peace. The Lord is speaking, as one man said, about people, not with just a peaceful disposition, though that's important, or those that just simply love peace, but one who is actively engaged in making peace, bringing two hostile groups together. Peacemakers work peace. They work peace. I should say, and this is very important, the world wants peace at the expense of truth. Have you noticed that? A peacemaker will never compromise God's truth. And we need to keep that in mind. You're going to be called to compromise truth over and over for the sake of peace. That's not true peacemaking. That's not biblical peacemaking, and we need to keep that in mind. So we need to be about bringing peace between where there is no peace, making that peace, and that can only happen as we know Jesus Christ. I want to draw allusion to this because we've seen so many things happen in our world around us, and oftentimes when I bring them up in services like this, it's not just to bring things that are current into the services. It is to give us a biblical perspective about them. You were watching on Tuesday or heard on Tuesday about the school shooting. And when these happen so regularly, and it's difficult to watch this. It was difficult to watch that one. And if you watch the news report, as those officers quickly responded and were on that scene. And I wanted us to know, we oftentimes call police officers peacemakers. Peacemakers, or we use this beatitude to describe them. On that day, in a very, very, very difficult moment, a moment not one of us would want to be engaged in, can you imagine yourself being put in the midst of that moment? But in that moment, I want us to realize, in a very hostile moment, those officers stood in between hostility and innocent children and teachers, and they brought peace to that situation. It wasn't an easy way to bring peace. Not saying that's the way that we go about seeking to bring peace, but in that moment there was a life and death situation to stop it. And they ought to be heralded as heroes for what they did in that moment. Our world gets all bent out of shape about that. And friends, we live in a chaotic, hostile world. But that is a vivid, vivid illustration of someone who rushes in at the danger of their own life. And there is going to be times when you are called upon by God to bring peace into a situation where it might endanger you. It might endanger your reputation. It might call for some sacrifice. But that's what we need to be willing to do. One who makes peace, one who brings peace between two hostile parties. And so we don't want to be known for inciting turmoil in life. We want to be known for being a peacemaker. What is all around us in the world? We hear the cries for peace. And even I found it interesting this past week to see a headline by Reuters that headlined the meeting between President Xi of China and President Putin of Russia. And the headline was this: Xi and Putin pledged to shape the new world order as the Chinese leader leaves Russia with no peace in sight for Ukraine. The world is clamoring for peace, friends. Yet they seem to always fall short of being able to bring it. Don't we see that everywhere? It's like the negotiations fail or they only last so long. And here's what I want to get at. Jesus is calling you and I to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're favored of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is what you need to be. We look around us and see those that say, well, we're going to come in, we're going to ride in, we're going to fly in, we're going to save the day, we're going to bring peace to this situation, and they fall short of it. Why? Friends, you cannot bring peace into a situation unless you have peace in your heart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to realize that in order to be qualified to be a peacemaker, you first must have peace. You must have peace in your heart. This goes back to the day of your salvation. Now, remember back in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us, Jeremiah 8 and verse 11, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That was what the false prophets, the religious crowd said. Those that were not running with God, those that were not following his word, they would go out and they would preach. They would preach in wherever they could. But, you know, in our day, they might fill stadiums, right? They might dominate the on the TV screens. They might flood YouTube. But the reality is they're still false teachers, and they still cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Every day of Friday, right? This peace, peace, it's all good. You're gonna be blessed and wealthy and have everything you need if you just send in a donation, right? Right? If you order this prayer hanky, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this was the message of the prophets, the false prophets in the Old Testament. They could not, as religious individuals, and when I describe religion, I'm just simply speaking about man's way to get to God. These false religious teachers, they could bring no peace. The religions of the world still can bring no peace. They can't bring peace to hearts. They can't bring peace to factions of society. They can't bring no peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 and verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. We should not be surprised when the wicked world around us is writhing in turmoil. Because God said there is no peace there. They have no peace. Don't get angry at them. We can get vengeful towards them. I wish they'd just settle down and let us have a peaceful life. They have no peace without Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells that there in the Old Testament. Isaiah 57, verse 21. There is no peace. No peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's why the world can't solve racial tensions. You hear me? All the debate in the world, all the discourse in the world will not solve it. They can't solve it. They can't solve anti-Semitism that is so much on a rise, even in our own country. I think we get blinded to that, but it's a reality, even in our own country. There's marches that have happened right in our own area. Anti-Semitism being against the Jewish people and ascribing hatred towards them, holding them responsible for the actions of the nation of Israel. You think about how our world deals with two hostile parties. They get a restraining order. What? To keep them apart, not to bring reconciliation. Our world does not have the ability, as those who have no peace, to bring peace, to make peace. Our world wants to throw off all moral restraints in the name of getting peace. They want to throw off anyone who reminds them of morals in the name of bringing peace. The reality is Jesus came into the world, he rode into Jerusalem, and they hailed him as the individual that would bring peace, not just on earth, but bring peace in heaven. That day when he rode in on that donkey, he was the Prince of Peace presenting himself who would go to the cross and purchase our peace. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. So we can't create peace. We can't be a peacemaker without the Prince of Peace residing within us, without him having given us peace. Do you know for certain today that Jesus is your Savior? Do you have the Prince of Peace in your heart? Has he given you peace, as Romans 5:1 says, with God? Do you have a settled assurance when you die, you'll spend eternity in heaven? Friends, that's the peace that you need to know before you can work on giving anyone else peace or being a peacemaker. Being born again, as John 3 tells us, being born again enables us to be a peacemaker. Being born again enables us to be a peacemaker. No politician, no motivational speaker just by position, no community organizer is enabled just by their position to be a peacemaker. Only being a born-again follower of Jesus Christ enables you to be a peacemaker. That's why the world needs you. Your community needs you. This nation needs you. Your workplace needs you as a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. But how many of you just agree with me, as born-again followers of Jesus Christ, we don't always make peace? What about the rest of you, right? We don't always make peace. And friends, that's the next step. Being born again enables you, but being filled with the Spirit empowers you to be a peacemaker. I want us to dwell on that thought for a moment. The Bible says, in fact, turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, take repeated steps. What is that? Submitting step by step, submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 tells us that we need to be submitted daily to the Holy Spirit of God. You need to submit to him today. Just because you're in church does not mean that you need to. You can be exempt from that. You need to submit to the Holy Spirit of God today. Read on in verse number 19, Galatians 5 and 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're made clear. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all sorts of sexual sin, all manner of it. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. We're getting into the idea of strife and fightings and certainly hostility, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Do we see any of these going on in society? Friends, in every one of these, let's just remind ourselves, we're not exempt from this. When we walk in the flesh as a believer, we don't have to go this way, but this is the fruit that will come up in our lives. And it's a scary picture. When I do not submit myself to the Holy Spirit of God, it's a scary picture of what I could be. We must diligently walk in the Spirit every day. I must diligently walk in the Spirit every day and submit myself to Him. But the Bible says, go on in verse number 22, look at it with me and read it out loud. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, wouldn't you notice that? What the Holy Spirit produces in my life as I take obedient steps according to His Word, day by day, moment by moment, He produces peace. Friends, the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowers you to be a peacemaker. You can't give peace to others. You can't come into a situation that's hostile and give peace in that situation or make peace in that situation if you are not submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. Again, if we go on into Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says when there's hostility, a fallen brother between him and God or him and someone else, and the hostility, I mean the broken fellowship, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You step into that moment as a spirit-filled individual and you can make a difference. Otherwise, you're going to make a mess. How many of you made messes of situations before? I have. Right? You walk in, I got the answer, driven by the flesh, driven by pride, and make a mess. No, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because that enables us to be a peacemaker. So that's a profile of a peacemaker. One who makes peace, one who has peace, one who produces peace by reason of the Holy Spirit dominating their life. The Holy Spirit being the one they're listening to. But what's the ministry of a peacemaker? You know, as Christians, we interact in three basic areas of life, three general circles of life. They kind of correlate with the institutions that God has created. He created the home, did he not? He created the church. He created government. And let's just say the area or the arena that we involve ourselves is the home, the church, and our communities. Our communities. Every one of us are a part of a community beyond these walls. It kind of comes together and it overlaps right here in this place as we are together as a body. But the reality is you and I interact in these areas. Let's think about our ministry in each one of these areas. The ministry of peacemaking in the home. There were a couple of boys who wanted to get their mom some flowers for a nice houseplant for a birthday, and so they did, and they went, and they were looking through the selection, and there was a particular one that was too expensive, so they passed for that, and they got her for her birthday this houseplant, and they brought it to her. They're all proud about this. These young boys, they're all proud about this, and they bring it to mom, and you know how kids, they share everything. They don't just leave well enough alone. They share everything, and so the older one goes, "Mom, oh, we bought you this. Happy birthday, but you know, we really wanted to get you another plant, but it was too expensive." Sharing too many details here, but it was too expensive. It had this really nice tag on the front that said, "Rest in peace." Mom, you're always telling us you just want to have some peace so that you can rest, right? Sometimes inside of our homes, there isn't always a place or a moment for peace. Peace can be a difficult thing. Peacemaking the home's important. Peacemaking is important. I think about the relationships between a husband and a wife. Peacemaking is important. Let me just say this, I didn't intend to, but you know, if there's hostility in a relationship, it's not a bad thing to get some counsel. All right, we'll just leave that there. It's not a bad thing to get some counsel. It's not a bad thing to get some counsel. Amen. There you are. You're awake again. Listen, you know what? Friends, there are going to be opportunities for peace to need to be made in a situation. And it needs to happen. Peacemaking right in the home. I think dads, how important it is for us to make sure that there's peace between children and mom. You know, sometimes the way that children will treat mom, I know. I tried to get away with things. My mom had lines, and you didn't cross them, but she's a very sweet, unassuming lady, but you didn't cross them. But I know sometimes my dad got involved. I heard this years ago from a guy counseling dads how to talk to their sons. If a son's spouting off to mom, you don't talk to my wife that way. You stand up for her. Make some peace in that situation. But not just tell them what not to do. Make peace. Bring them into right relationship. Hey, you need to go get right with mom. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Get right with mom. It might be children to children. Some people grow up as enemies. We ought not allow that in our home. Be the peacemaker in that situation. It might be extended family. Seek to be the peacemaker in that situation. And you can only bring that peace if you have peace in your heart and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And no doubt in this room, there's family situations that burden your heart nearly every day and you wish that there could be peace. Listen, start on your knees. Start on your knees. You're only able to bring peace as God enables you to do it. You're only able to make peace in that situation. But you can in your home be a peacemaker. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I encourage you dads to take the lead in that. Be the chief peacemaker, the chief peacemaking officer in your home, the CPO, the chief peacemaking officer. And do your very best to keep peace. Dads, model it. Did something wrong towards mom? Go take care of it. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Powerful, powerful words. In the church, the ministry of the peacemaker is so important. We're all different. We're going to study that tonight in 1 Corinthians. We're all so different. There is endless opportunities for something to go out of whack when you get a bunch of different people together. And we need every one of us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to be peacemakers. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and called out, and we've mentioned this many times, Eutychus and Syntyche, and he beseeched them, he begged them that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. All right, get on the same page, ladies. Come together. And Paul was acting as a peacemaker, calling them to relinquish hostilities and get together, give a hug, and go on. Really go on, like forget it, go on. 2 Corinthians 13 and 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect or mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, he told the Corinthians. I want you to live in peace. And so here Paul is encouraging these churches, hey, live at peace. Be peacemakers with one another. Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18. They had a situation where Apollos came into town and he preached something that was great. He did it really well, but he didn't quite have all of his doctrine in line. And what did they do? Hey, why don't you come over to Sunday lunch? And they were peacemakers in that situation. They could have blown up that situation. They could have posted it. They could have huddled with some people after the service and say, can you believe what he taught? That's not what they did. They didn't post it on Facebook. They didn't leave the church over it. They simply got this guy together and said, hey, can we show you a more excellent way? What a great example of being a peacemaker in the church. We ought to have that heart. Listen, we can do that because we're born again, but only as we're empowered by the Spirit of God do we have the enablement to do that. Do we have the discernment to do that? Do we have the temperament, the meekness to do that? And it does take that. And so in the church, we ought to be peacemakers, but in our communities, the Bible says, Hebrews 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But that first part of that verse, follow peace with all men. Let's say that together. Follow peace with all men. Pursue after it. Strive after it. Work for it. Make that the priority of your activity. That's the idea of the word. Follow after this. Make peace. We must be peacemakers in our community. Think about it. In your neighborhood, be a peacemaker. You know, neighbors war. You can either pour gasoline on that fire, or you can be one that doesn't continue to add fuel to the fire. You can get to know those folks, love on them, encourage unity right within your neighborhood, in your workplace. Isn't there plenty of workplace spats? So are you going to add to it? Yeah, that's what they did to me. I'm with you 100%. You know what can happen? Take sides, or you can be a peacemaker in that situation. Try to love them both, work to on both sides and encourage them. Obviously, and we'll get to this, but the greatest thing that you can do is introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings peace to their heart and will change their relationships. Greatest way. Think about different places that we are in our lives. We can be a peacemaker. We can be a peacemaker by bringing the gospel into that situation. A peacemaker, reconciling, helping to reconcile the fault that is in between them and God. The Bible says, once you turn over to it, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Notice the words, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Be ye reconciled to God. Let's say that together. Be ye reconciled to God. What is that? That's the actions of a peacemaker. You know, you can be a peacemaker in your neighborhood by bringing the gospel. You've been a peacemaker by bringing the gospel, the book of John and Romans, and engaging people even over this past week, and we'll continue to do so as we go through this. Easter season, we're just going to do it all the time as a church, right? Because that's what God has left us here to do. To be a peacemaker, to bring the gospel there. I was thinking about different scenarios that we're in. Guys, you can be a peacemaker in the barber's chair. start creating a relationship there where you can witness to that person. You can be a peacemaker at the mechanic shop. Ladies, you got it really easy. You can be a peacemaker while they're putting on those nails. I know it's nearly intoxicating to be there and smelling all those fumes and so on, but you can, they're there. They can't send you away half done. You can be a peacemaker there, bringing the gospel into that situation, being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to, everywhere we go, looking for those opportunities. How can I bring peace to my community? There is no peace without God. And our community desperately needs peace. We think of yesterday, even as they called for Transgender Revenge Day, was yesterday. And as they continue to, as the hostilities in our country, how are we going to bring peace? By bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to them. What, are we going to fight fire with fire? No. No. Christianity is not a religion of the sword. We all agreed there? I thank the Lord that He allows us to protect ourselves, but Christianity is not a religion of the sword. We can't force anyone. The Bible actually speaks to that, James 3 and verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Our gospel witness ought to always be done in peace, bringing peace into that situation, sowing the gospel seed into our communities. I want to ask you a question. We oftentimes think of those that need to come to Jesus Christ as we approach Easter. Could you write down three people that need you to be a peacemaker between them and God? I'm not saying you're taking the place of Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Are we all agreed there? Right? But He has set us out as His ambassadors. And we can mediate. We can point. Listen, you're at odds with God. You're a sinner. You're separated from God. Let me tell you the answer. We can be that mediator that steps in between and says, here's the answer, and point to God. Are there three people you can think of that you would like to see peace brought into their lives, that you would like to make peace, help them come to that place of peace between them and God? I've given you some blanks. If you're using the notes to write it down, I'd encourage you to write down three names. Maybe they're a neighbor, maybe they're a family member. Who is it? Can you think of them? Begin with praying for them. Look for a way to engage them. Look for an opportunity to bring the gospel to them. Look for creative opportunities. Well, we were in D.C. We had a great time there, and thank you for praying. But you know what? Whether it was an Uber driver, whether it was someone that was just helping us out, look for those opportunities. Get a number. I'm going to send to a person that's just moved into the United States from over in Iran. I'm going to send him Brother Michael Garamy's video on how to be saved, right? And got the phone number. Looking for those opportunities. Might not be the first thing that I do, but it's coming. It's coming. It's gonna be happening. Looking for those opportunities, right? Who can we this week? Three names. Who can we this week seek to be that peacemaker for? What if you aren't that peacemaker for them? In other words, what if you don't show up in their life and say, hey, I can show you how to have peace with God? Who else is going to do it? Well, I sure hope someone, you know, meets that need. It's you. God putting them on your heart right now, it's you. Look for that opportunity. Pray over that. Seek that. What is the life of a peacemaker? What is the blessing upon them? Well, first of all, they're favored by God. Over and over, every one of these Beatitudes we've heard, blessed, and seven times so far we've heard blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? And so the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. They're favored by God. They're characterized by being highly favored. They have God's divine grace upon them. It's spiritual versus physical. It is eternal versus temporal blessings. And God says, I'm going to bless you if you'll act as a peacemaker, taking my peace to the world around you, the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. You'll be blessed by knowing I've done what God's asked me to do. You have the blessing of God, the enablement, the grace of God upon you. You'll be able to be in the midst of hostility and have peace in your heart. Why? Jesus said, John 16:33, these things have I written unto you. I've written unto you that in the world you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you can know that even if you're dealing in the midst of hostilities, in the midst of a hostile world, Jesus Christ has brought me peace, and he has the answer to this situation, and you can be at peace. What a great blessing that that is. The favor of God would be upon us, but I especially want to note that when we're a peacemaker, when we live that life, the Bible says we shall be called the children of God. Think about your titles. Maybe your dad should always start out a child of God, right? Maybe your dad, mom, grandma, granddad. Brother Dennis became a granddad for the third time this week, right? Granddad. Brother, sister, employee. What's your work title? We're many things, but you talk about high level. When you cannot just be a child of God, but be called a child of God by those around you. When they look at your life and say, there's a child of God. That's high level, friends. There's no greater honor in the world. You can have the highest office in the world. You have the most powerful seat in the world. But to be called the child of God, what a great honor. What a great and true blessing. Why? It affects eternity. To be called a child of God. Now, it's interesting, this word called is passive in the sense it's not something that I go around and I wear as a sticker or a button. I'm a child of God. Ta-da! I'm a child of God and I'm bringing peace into the situation. No, it's not like that. It's they call you it. They describe you as this. The world needs a whole lot of Christians that are not just Christians because they say so, but because the world sees it as so. And this is what God is saying. You act as a peacemaker in an incredibly hostile, chaotic world, and they'll know you as a child of God. They'll call you a child of God. And we want to be that way. Luke 6 and verse 35 kind of gives us the biography of a peacemaker. But love your enemies. Well, that's something the world doesn't do. Love your enemies. No, they retaliate against their enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. No, that's not how the world works. They always want to, they give to get. They always want something in return. They want a kickback. And your reward shall be great, Jesus says, and ye shall be the children of the highest. So when we act as a peacemaker, God says, I'm telling you, you'll be noticed by the world around you as a child of God. As a child of God. Your workplace desperately needs that. And friends, as Spurgeon said, what a man is what he is at home. Our homes desperately need us to be peacemakers. It starts there. It starts there. And so I encourage you, everything I can, to be a peacemaker. To allow God to work this in your heart, to lead you. And the greatest way to grow in this and develop in this is something we have to develop in. It's not something that just overnight, just really good at. The greatest way is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he is the greatest peacemaker. He left heaven, and it's announced to us in Luke chapter number 2 that he came and he was going to bring peace. It was prophesied early that he would be the Prince of Peace, and he would come to the world as the one who owned and could give peace, had authority over peace. But Luke 2 and verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. A little bit later on, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, as we've referenced in Luke 19:38, it said, blessed is the king, be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. So not just peace on earth, but peace in heaven. Reconciliation, the peace made between God and man, would happen through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate and are reminded this week of Jesus going to the cross, 3 days and three nights before he rose again. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Do you remember the next phrase? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The idea is he took the pain for your peace. You and I get all bent out of shape. We don't want to bring peace in that situation. It'll cost me something. It cost Jesus his very life to bring you peace. The greatest peacemaker. So, you might be thinking about a situation that you're involved in. Family, community, work, you got to step in and deal with it tomorrow. Listen, it might cost you something, but if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, the greatest peacemaker, he will guide you. You are enabled to be a peacemaker by your salvation. You're empowered by the Spirit filling, by submitting yourself every day to the Holy Spirit of God. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? How would you like me to bring peace to this situation? How would you like me to help here? I'll do whatever you say. And may the Lord use us as peacemakers this week. Would that be your prayer as well? Let's pray about that before we leave. Father, thank you for your word and this challenge that you've given to your disciples, and it echoes all the way down to 2023 and into this room. Your words are so powerful in that way. We want to be peacemakers. Lord, we confess that there's many times that we join in the hostilities. That doesn't reflect you well. And so we confess that, and we want to turn from that. And this week, as you give us opportunities, we want to make peace. Lord, we want to bring the gospel of peace into the communities that you've given us. So Lord, I just pray that you would help us as your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed, how many would say, Pastor, it is my prayer that I'd be a peacemaker. It is my prayer. And you'd say with an upraised hand, amen. How many would say, God, I have peace in my heart. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that when I die, I'll spend eternity in heaven. Could you acknowledge that with your hands? Amen. So many. If you don't know that, we want to help you with that today. If you're watching by way of live stream, simply call in, text us, call in to 937-293-7500. We'll help you with that. We'd love to help you with that. How many of you would find a place to pray, not only that you would be a peacemaker, that God would strengthen you, enable you by His Spirit, Jesus would guide you in the situations you're going to face this week. How many of you would pray, God, help me to be a peacemaker, but also pray for those names that you've written down, those names that are on your heart. I'd invite you right now, let's stand to our feet and let's find a place to pray and commit those names and also that prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me to be a peacemaker. Help me to be a peacemaker. I'm going to invite you just to come to the altar. The cross is here. You need to bring people to the cross. Let's pray about those people that you've written down. You can come as the piano plays. I encourage you to do so. Let's pray about these folks that are on your hearts. I'd encourage you to find a place to pray. Let's not just pass by. The Lord wants to use you as a peacemaker.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.